You can't walk out. You can't work out. Somebody has to bail you out.
Dr. Tony Evans says there's no such thing as a do-it-yourself solution for sin.
He became the substitute in the person of Jesus Christ in order to provide the payment that a holy God demands against sin.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Jesus bought our freedom from slavery at a very high price. It's what the Bible calls being redeemed. Today, Dr. Evans will tell us five things about redemption that'll help us understand and appreciate the sacrifice that saved us. Let's join him.
One of the great heroes in the African-American history annals is a lady named Harriet Tubman, affectionately known as Moses. In the mid-1800s, she was one of the primary conductors of the Underground Railroad. Miss Tubman would come down to the South and collect slaves and deliver them to freedom in the North and predominantly in Canada. And she would take of her own efforts, move them to freedom, pay what it would take in order to deliver them from bondage. That process of the Underground Railroad was a process of redemption. Taking people who were enslaved and bringing them to freedom, even at high cost to herself. When we discuss this great salvific concept of redemption, we are in fact discussing the same process, only this time by God. Look at this with me and fall in love with this most grandeur word. First of all, the need for redemption. John 8:34 makes it very, very clear that we have a problem that we've already discussed, but one that has created the need for all the great words of salvation, and that is the problem of sin. He says that in verse 44, you are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth, but there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks, it's a lie. He speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Back in verse 34, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. So the problem that you and I have is the problem of slavery. Men are born slaves in the same way that in the mid-1800s, if you were born on a southern plantation, you were born a slave of a social economic system. So it is, every man and woman is born a slave of sin. Now that bondage shows up in a lot of different ways. Titus chapter 3 verse 3 gives us a great summary verse with regard to this slavery. For we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice, in the hateful, hating one another. Please notice that the slavery that mankind is in bondage to not only includes actions, but attitudes. They not only include what you do, but what you think. And some of us wouldn't dare do some of the things we think about doing all the time. Because slavery works from the inside out. It has to do with the mind and the heart, as well as the actions that we commit. So this concept of redemption is given to us against the backdrop of slavery. So what then is the concept of redemption? Well, against this backdrop, the word redeemed technically means to buy or to purchase. And it was regularly used of buying a slave. In other words, just as the slave auction blocks in America, the slaves would be put on the block and you could purchase the slave from a previously existing slave owner. Now, you had two options with the purchase. You could purchase the slave and then make him your slave, or you could purchase the freedom of a slave. In other words, you could purchase a slave with the goal of setting the slave free. The word that is often used in the New Testament to define redemption is the word lutro. It has another form of the word with the prefix apo onto it. And that word reads apolutrosis. Let me give you the background of apolutrosis, which is found in Romans chapter 3, verse 24, when it talks about the fact that we were justified through the redemption. We were declared righteous because of this price that was paid. And we can go all the way back to Israel on the Day of Atonement. On the Day of Atonement, they would have the scapegoat. The scapegoat was the goat that received the sins of all the nation in order to avert the wrath of God for a 12-month period of time. Then a shepherd boy would lead a goat out of the city. There were two goats, one that was slain, sacrificed, and the other one that was led out of the city. This goat that was led out of the city was illustrating that the sins of the people was being led out of the city as well. They were being removed from the people so that they would not incur the wrath of God, because wherever there is sin, there is slavery, and wherever there is sin, there is judgment. So when the goat was removed, the sins of the people were removed, but it only lasts for 1 year. The only problem is that this goat would often wander back into camp. Now, you don't want that. If sin brings judgment, then you don't want this symbol of sin wandering back into the place where it was released from. So what a shepherd boy would often do is he would often take this goat over to a cliff and shove it off. That's apolutrosis. The removal of sin, and it will never show up again. Okay? Guess what? The reason you can't lose your salvation is that the goat has been shoved off the cliff. The reason why you can't be saved today and lost tomorrow, saved today and lost tomorrow, is because the price that was paid so complete that that goat is never getting up again. If you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, for you not to go to heaven, heaven would have to disintegrate. Because the payment was so complete that it can never come up again as it relates to your relationship with God. This concept of redemption was decisive and a costly intervention. Leviticus 25, verses 25 to 28, Exodus 21, verses 28 to 32, talks about this concept of redeeming, a decisive intervention into a crisis situation in order to bring about deliverance and liberation. Well, what was the cost of the redemption? What did it cost? Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. This, among many other great verses in the Bible, tells us the cost of your redemption. You were in a slave market called sin. A price had to be paid to buy you out. You can't walk out. You can't work out. You can't do any of that to get out. Somebody has to bail you out and me out and every other member of the human race. So in 1 Peter chapter 1, we have two great verses in the New Testament. Verse 18. Knowing that you were not, here it is, redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, because slavery is inherited, you're born a slave, all men are, but with the precious blood as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. In order for God to redeem us, we needed somebody to do the redemption who was not enslaved with us. We're enslaved to sin, inherited from our forefathers. So I need somebody sinless, right? Sinless. Enter the virgin birth. Because in the virgin birth, what you had was the Holy Spirit overseeing the egg of Mary in order to provide a perfect man without sin, or as this verse says, he would be unblemished, verse 19, and spotless. Do you know all the lambs in the Old Testament that were offered for sacrifice had to be spotless lambs? You know why? Because it couldn't have the same problem it was trying to solve. Jesus Christ, if he had the same sin problem we have, could not be our Savior because he himself would need a Savior. So if Jesus Christ has any blemish of sin, and that's why he had to live a perfect life. He had to live a perfect life. He had to defeat the devil. He had to resist temptation because it had to be demonstrated he was a perfect man, qualifying himself to be a perfect Savior. So he was without blemish. Now we notice a couple of things. Jesus Christ came from the outside of the sin market to purchase those of us, all of us, that were inside of the market of sin. He makes it very clear in verse 18, money won't do it. Perishable things like silver or gold. You cannot buy your way out of this thing. You cannot earn your way out of this thing. But a lamb must be provided. Now, of course, you remember it was said of Jesus by John the Baptist in John 1:29. Behold the, what? Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The lamb. It had to be purchased. So then, what is the cost of your redemption? The shedding of blood of an acceptable sacrifice. That's the cost. The shedding of blood. Why the shedding of blood? Well, the Bible tells us, Deuteronomy 12:23 says, because life is in the blood. In other words, when the Bible talks about the giving of blood, it's talking about the losing of life. So the shedding of blood was the mechanism for the giving of the life, because life is required as a payment for sin. That's why Jesus couldn't get scratched and that would be an acceptable penalty. Or he just couldn't go to jail and that would be acceptable penalty. He had to give life. All the lambs in the Old Testament had to give life. So God demanded a price for sin. The price for sin was the shedding of blood of a man who would be an acceptable, suitable substitute. Since all men are born in sin, none of us can be a substitute for anybody else because all of us have the same problem. So what God did was he became the substitute in the person of Jesus Christ in order to provide the payment that a holy God demands against sin.
Dr. Evans will come back in a moment with a closer look at what God redeemed us from. Stay with us.
As you've listened to Tony Evans preach, have you ever wanted to take a peek at his notes or follow along as he researched the concepts and content he was sharing? Well, now you can with the help of the Tony Evans Commentary. You get a background-rich introduction to each book of the Bible, followed by passage-by-passage exposition that transforms ideas into understanding. Tony Evans has taken a lifetime of insights and illustrations and packed them into this powerful new tool you'll want to have with you every time you study God's Word. The Tony Evans Commentary, available now at TonyEvans.org.
This is one of the best Bible study tools to come around for a long time, and it was just released this week. Don't miss your chance to be one of the first to get a copy. When you do, be sure to request Tony's current teaching series, Our Great Salvation. It's a 12-lesson collection that'll take you through key terms describing what happened when Jesus died for us on the cross. Theological words you've probably heard but maybe didn't understand. Well, right now, we're offering you this 2-volume set on CD as our gift when you make a contribution toward the ministry of The Alternative. And if you contact us right away, we'll include a bonus, Tony's God's Got It devotional journal, which not only gives you a place to take notes on what you're learning and keep track of prayer requests, but includes inspirational thoughts from Tony to reflect on and pray about. So visit us today at tonyevans.org or call us at 1-800-800-3222. Make your contribution and let us send you this special pair of resources before this limited time offer runs out. Again, that's tonyevans.org or call us day or night at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our resource team members help you. That's 1-800-800-3222. And now here's Dr. Evans once again with more of today's lesson.
Now, let's look at the next principle, which is the accomplishment of redemption. What did redemption accomplish? Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. The Bible says, cursed is everyone who does not do it all. In other words, the law is not a cafeteria where you can pick the string beans and skip by the bread and jump over the cauliflower and move past the broccoli and pick up the dessert and skip the Coke and get the iced tea. No, no, no. The law says it's a package deal. You either get it all or you get none of them. It comes in a package. Okay? So it's not a cafeteria. But what does he say now in verse 13? Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Verse 10 says we were cursed. Because if you don't do everything perfectly all the time, you're under a curse. Or as James puts it, if you fail in one point, you're guilty of failing all points. Ask somebody who tells you they keep the Ten Commandments. Now, that's a famous one. You know, I keep the Ten Commandments. Well, when you go through them, have you ever lied? Okay, they say no. Tell them you just did. All right? Okay. Nobody has kept the perfect Ten Commandments. Then tell them, well, suppose you were hanging over a cliff on a chain and had 10 links on it. Which link would have to break before you fell? Any one of them. Any one. You don't have to have 10 links break. All you have to do is have one link break. And no matter which link breaks, you fall. Okay? The Ten Commandments are linked together. So when you disconnect any link, you fall. You are subject to the judgment of God because you have not kept his perfect standard, because it is a package deal. But verse 13 says, but Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Christ made the purchase from the curse. Now, what was the curse of the law? The curse of the law were the penal sanctions of the law, or the wrath incurred against God's holy standard. Wherever you have law, and therefore the possibility of violation, you have payment. Okay? Because God is holy, he cannot skip the payments. Now, most of us are enslaved to one thing, debt. Okay? I want you to try this tomorrow. I want you to call your bill, the person that you owe, and ask them to skip it. Will they do that? Uh-uh. In fact, they can demand it, and if you get an attitude, they'll send a collection agency after you. Why? Because it is an obligation owed that must be paid. So the issue simply is now, who's going to pay it? Are you going to pay it? Do you have a mother and father who's going to pay it for you? Who will redeem you from this debt? It's the same concept. Well, Christ, verse 13, redeemed us from the penalty of the law, and the penalty of the law was ultimately death. The Bible makes it clear now, you've been set free to keep the law by faith. Why? Because God has put a new law within you in the person of the Holy Spirit, who provides the power to keep the old law that you couldn't keep in the flesh. Finally, the response to redemption. How do we respond? Here's how you respond. Number one, it should motivate us to serve him. Look at what Titus 2:14 says. Who gave himself for us that he may redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself a people of his own possession, zealous for good works. So we want to live to please him, because anybody pay that much for me, I don't mind. In 1 Corinthians 7, 22 and 23, he says, don't become slaves of men. Don't let men overrule God in your life, because you appreciate the price I pay. Secondly, it should motivate us to worship. Revelation 1, 5 and verse 6 and Revelation 5 and verse 9 says that when God redeems, it ought to make us worship him. It says that they said, worthy is the Lamb who paid the price. They worship. Story is taught of a boy who captured two little birds. A man asked him, what are you going to do with these birds you have in your cage? He said, oh, it's real simple. We're going to play with them for a little while, then we're going to feed them to the cat. He said, well, if you don't mind, can I buy the cage and the bird? They said, sure. How much you want? And they told him, and he bought them. And then he opened the cage and set the birds free. He redeemed them from the one who was going to feed them to the cat. And that's what Satan's going to do with every one of us, feed us to the cat, except Jesus Christ picked up the tab, and he set them free. And as they flew out of the cage, they were chirping. And the man said, as he heard them chirping, it sounded like they were chirping, redeemed, redeemed, redeemed. And when Jesus Christ saved you, he wants you to take wings and fly. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed. Why? Because the price has been picked up to set you free. Not only that, but it should motivate us to proclaim him. 2 Peter 2:1 says that there are Christians who are false teachers who deny the Lord that bought them. Secret agent Christians. They deny the Lord bought them. Too many people around can't say grace out loud. They deny the Lord who bought them. Paid the price, but can't speak his name in public or give false information out about him. It should motivate us to proclaim him. So in closing, we are redeemed from something, the marketplace of sin. We are redeemed by something, the blood of Christ. We are redeemed to something, and that is the state of freedom to serve Christ. Psalm 34, 22 says that when the Lord redeems you, take refuge in him. If he redeemed you, take refuge in him. You can trust him. If he paid that much for you, the scripture says, will he not with Christ freely give you all things?
Dr. Evans will come back in a moment to tell us the story of the little boy who learned about redemption in a very practical way. First, though, if you'd like to get a copy of today's message to review on your own or share with someone else, it comes as a part of Dr. Evans' current series, Our Great Salvation. And remember, for a very limited time, you can get this complete series on CD as our thank you gift for a contribution toward Tony's ministry, along with his God's Got It devotional journal. Call us at 1-800-800-3222 or visit TonyEvans.org to make the arrangements. And while you're there, follow along in Matthew chapter 28 as Tony takes us through the Bible on social media, and find other great resources like the Tony Evans commentary I told you about and his soon-to-be-released Tony Evans Study Bible. Through Christ, God has already solved the sin problem for each and every human being. So why are so many people still on their way to a Christless eternity? Dr. Evans will dig into that issue tomorrow. But right now, you can be 100% sure that you're not one of those people by coming to Jesus, admitting your helplessness, and putting your trust completely in him. Tony would love to tell you more about how that process works. Just visit TonyEvans.org and click on the Jesus link on the homepage. As you do that, Tony has a final story to share with you.
A little boy one day bought a boat, put it in the water, the wind blew it, and he lost it. One day, walking around the beach, he saw his little boat in a window of a store. He said, sir, that's my boat. See my little initials on the other side? He said, I'm sorry, sir, but somebody gave me this, and young man, and I can only give it to you if you buy it. He went, worked hard, made his money, brought his money back, purchased it. Took his boat that he had lost, hugged it tight to him, and said, little boat, you are now twice mine. I carved you with my knife, so you are mine because I created you. But then I bought you with a price, because you're mine because I purchased you. You and I belong to Jesus Christ twice, because by him all things exist. So we belong to him by creation. But if you've been redeemed today, you're his by purchase. May God enable all of us to say redeemed, how I love to proclaim it.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.